Hello everyone, I'm Zola Zingit. Welcome to COVID Stuck Abroad, the podcast where I get to chat with South Africans who are living abroad in 2020, when COVID-19 changed the world as we know it. This podcast aims to tell the personal accounts of guests featured and does not claim to offer verified facts. To get verified information about COVID-19 and related information, please refer to the official World Health Organization website, as well as the official South African government website. Please see the show notes for links. It must also be stated that COVID Stuck Abroad will not tolerate xenophobic sentiments. Listeners should recognize that the personal experiences of one individual cannot be viewed as a representation of an entire nation, ethnicity, or culture. Okay, now let's get to today's episode. Hello everyone. Today I'm joined by Kagiso Mokgotsi, who moved to Tianjin City in China in January of 2018 to teach English at a language training school. She is now back in South Africa, completing a postgraduate diploma in business administration at the Wits Business School. Hi, Kagiso.
Hi, Zola. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually very excited because you're my first guest to be in studio with me.
Yay. I'm super excited too, by the way. Yeah,
thank you for joining me.
The pleasure.
So just to get into it, the first question I sort of always ask is, how do you end up in China?
Well, let's see. I was actually looking for a teaching job after I finished my internship at government department. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a friend of mine was actually working for an online English center around Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. I was actually planning to apply to that center. However, when I went onto the website, I saw that you can actually apply for a job to actually teach in China. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let me just try my luck. Let me apply and let's see what happens. So I applied, I think, sometime in 2017, around October, and yeah, did my interview, everything went well, and I got the job, and then I basically started preparing my documents, you know, the whole process, and then I flew out on the 26th of January in 2018.
Okay, maybe just to backtrack a bit, why did you even decide you, like, wanted a teaching job? Or, like, is that what you were doing before, or was this just...
it was just a spur of the moment type of decision. Like, okay, okay, I can teach. I can actually do this with a degree.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just try my luck. Let me apply. Let's see what happens. teaching isn't necessarily what I wanted to do, but definitely something that I wanted to just try out and just see if I like it or not. I told myself that if maybe I don't like the whole teaching thing within maybe 3 months, then I'll probably leave, but I ended up enjoying it. Yeah,
but also it's quite a quick turnaround from the time you, like, applied to having to leave.
Yeah. I got the job, like, first time, like, first interview, first offer I took, and I ran with it.
So what was it like arriving in Tianjin City in January of 2018? Like, you've just arrived in China. What's that experience like?
Oh my God, I remember when I landed, like, in Tianjin, it was pretty cold, actually.
Yeah.
It was really, really cold. It was winter. imagine coming from, you know, Pretoria, it's quite hot there, and then you land in China and it's like freezing. But like my school welcomed me really, really well. So I got there. Someone came to fetch me from the airport. Then we drove to my apartment. And yeah, I think the first day they just let me rest, you know, cause I was pretty jet lagged. So I did that the first day. And then the second day, that's when I actually went into the school and I met everyone just to, you know, familiarize myself with the environment, where the actual school is, and just getting to know some of my colleagues. but I have to say that it was quite a nerve-wracking experience. I mean, it was like my first time ever flying on a big plane. Like, I've never been on a flight before.
Ever?
Ever.
So it's like your first flight ever was leaving to go to China.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can imagine, I was a bit nervous, but I mean...
And you were alone, right?
Yes, I was.
My goodness, talk about bravery.
I had to learn everything on the go as I went, you know? But like the first month was great. I made a friend. the guy that I was training with ended up being my friend for like the rest of my time in China. I made a lot of friends during the first couple of months. I did quite a lot. Like we went out, coffee, lunch, clubs, bars, everything.
That was actually going to be like my follow-up question is, you know, because you stayed in Tianjin City, right, for like about what, 2 years?
Yeah.
So what was those 2 years like?
I have to say, up and down, like mixed feelings all the way. Like one moment I'd be like the happiest person ever, the next I'd be homesick. Like you miss home quite a lot. So I think my first year, was the hardest because I had never ever been away from home ever in my life. Even though yes, I had like you know friends, colleagues, you know a nice apartment, and I could travel. But you know like it gets you after some time. You miss your family. You wish you could see your mom. But I was lucky enough that I think 8 months into my contract, my mom actually came to visit. So that was quite a really cool experience. So I had the privilege of actually like showing her around you know my city around Tianjin. So we did quite a couple of like activities. I even took her to Beijing, so that was really really cool. So I had that privilege, and then maybe like a few months later my aunt came to come visit also. So yeah, that was really really nice. My aunt and cousin came to visit me, and yeah, I had a lovely lovely experience like the first year. I think second year, that's when I was like okay, I actually need to think about what I want to do next, because I don't think I want to do this forever. Yes, I did enjoy teaching and you know traveling and meeting new people from you know different countries, but I actually had to think okay, like what's next, because I was like my intention was never to do the teaching thing forever. So which is why I'm back home at the moment and I'm you know studying.
So during those 2 years when you're living there, did you ever like come back to South Africa or like visit, or you always just like staying that side?
No, I actually did come back. I think I came back like after my first contract just to come see the family and see my friends. So that was a really really good feeling just to come home, you know, and see everyone and experience my life in like back home again. Even though like I feel like I was so used to convenience because everything is so convenient in China. So when I came back home for the second time, I had to now start carrying cash again because I'm so used to not, you know, having cash at all.
Yeah.
Because we use our phones for everything, like to pay for everything from your taxi, groceries, entertainment. So I didn't really need to carry cash around. So just adapting, like readapting back home for like a month was also quite a challenge, like a bit of a challenge, but not entirely, but just a bit of a challenge doing that. But other than that, like yeah, I had a good time the first time I came back home after my first contract.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, because when you speak about your second time coming back home, is it this time around, like when you came back permanently?
Yes.
So maybe let's get into that, like what prompted that. So let me, you know, I mean, I already know what sort of prompted that, but I guess let's backtrack and talk about that. When is the first time you actually hear about, you know, this virus that's spreading? Do you even know it's called the coronavirus at this point, or like, but when do you first hear about this virus?
Well, we first heard about it, I think, like late December, early Jan. Like, none of us really knew what was happening. Like, we knew that, okay, there's this disease going around and, you know, like old people dying because of it. But like none of us really actually quite knew the, like, the magnitude of how catastrophic, you know, everything would become. We were just like, we were chilled about it, like the first couple of weeks, cause we weren't really sure. We thought, no, it's gonna pass, you know, like.
So this is while you're in China, yeah, in Tianjin, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess I am wondering, like, with people who were living in China at that time, is what were the news reports within the country? Like, what is happening? So it's like, you're not in Wuhan at this point, like, yeah, of course, but, yeah, you know, what is being reported within the country in terms of, like, what's going on in Wuhan?
Well, I used to get a lot of the information from my colleagues, my Chinese colleagues. Mm. I didn't really watch the news there because everything is in Chinese. So I can't really, you know, hear anything or read anything.
Mm.
Couldn't really hear or read anything. But we got a lot of the information from our colleagues and they used to tell us, okay, no, it's not that bad. Yes, the numbers are going up. But, like, it's not really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they just used to tell us it's not that bad. Don't worry, guys. Like, keep calm. It's going to be okay, you know. So we didn't really think much of it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time where we felt, okay, like, this is getting serious is when we started having numbers in Tianjin.
Oh, you know? When did that start?
I think just about, late Jan, just around, just before Spring Festival or like Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
That is when we started hearing about the numbers in our city, you know. And yeah, we had already planned to go away at that time. So a group of friends and I had planned to go to Vietnam for Spring Festival. You know, just to relax, cause it had been like a very long, month.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone was going away cause anyway, that is what people do during Spring Festival. They go away, they go see their families or, they go visit other countries.
Yeah.
So our plan was just to, chill in Vietnam for a few days and then go back.
Go back to China.
Yeah.
Okay. So just before spring break, you start hearing about like numbers within Tianjin City, but yeah, like
still there wasn't like a lot of panic at,
okay,
like, during that time. I don't think any of us were panicking. Yes, like we did have like our mask on.
Oh, okay. So you're already
like,
wearing masks.
Yes, yes. Okay. Already, like at the airport, you had to have your mask on, sanitizer, everything. You know. Mm. Yeah. And then we got to Vietnam, and yeah, well, the numbers were not bad in Vietnam at that time, when we got there. we still had to wear a mask and everything. So yeah, we spent a couple of days in Vietnam. We had a lot of fun.
Sorry to interrupt you, but like, did you have any trouble getting into Vietnam coming from China?
No. No. We didn't have any trouble at that. Yeah. During that time.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really have any issues going into Vietnam. I mean, everything was already, you know, done beforehand. My visa, I had already applied a long time ago, way before, you know, this whole thing started. So we didn't really have a difficult time getting in. And then, yeah, we spent a couple of days there. And then we decided to go to Malaysia again, spur of the moment. And I think it was because of panic. I think at that time we started to kind of like panic because the numbers were going up in Tianjin. So it was a matter of, okay, do we still go back or do we just...
So yeah. How long were you actually supposed to be in Vietnam?
If I remember correctly, like maybe five days.
Was that like your work vacation time?
Yes. Yes, if I remember correctly, yeah.
Okay. So when you decide to not go back to Tianjin, like are you still on vacation or are you now taking days off work? Like,
well, I think by that time our school had already started telling people to like lock down. I think China was kind of like going on a lockdown of some sort during that time. So yeah, like they kept extending the holiday. Like our school kept extending the holiday, like, okay, no, guys, we're going to give you, like, another week, you know, just to relax or whatever. So for that week, we decided, okay, it's fine, let's book flights to Malaysia. And, yeah, at that time, we were looking at the numbers, like, every day, like, literally Googling the numbers, like, okay, what's happening in Tianjin? Are the numbers rising, or are they steady, or, like, what's happening, you know? So I think we booked those flights in a panic, sort of, I think.
Let me get this straight. Also, when you speaking of we, like, you're on holiday with your friends, are these South African friends as well, or like
the mixture? So two Americans, one British girl, and one South African.
Being you. Okay, so all of you go to Malaysia.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Yeah, we decided to chill for a bit in Malaysia. I think, that time, like I said, my school had already extended, like, our holiday to, like, a week. And then I think sometime during that week, they started giving us options, like, okay, guys, like, it's getting serious. So you have three options. You either come back to Tianjin and quarantine in your apartment, or you quarantine remotely wherever you are, like in Malaysia or whatever, or you decide to go back home and quarantine there and, you know, up until, like, safe to come back, so to say. So, yeah, we decided to stay for a bit in Malaysia. And then I think a few days later, like 4 days later, I decided to book a flight back home because I had that option, right? My school had given me that option to, you know, work from home, like South Africa. So I decided to book my flight on I think it was on a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm trying to make sure that I remember my days correctly. But I think I booked on a Thursday, beginning of February. Yeah, first week of February, if I'm not mistaken. I booked my flight and I was, like, literally out the same day.
Okay, so wait, so let me get that straight. So you guys were in Vietnam for, like, about 5 days. This is end of Jan.
Yeah.
And then you then go to Malaysia around beginning Feb.
Yeah, beginning of Feb. Yeah.
How long were you guys in Malaysia for?
I think 4 days, maybe.
Okay, like, so not long as well.
Yeah,
then.
Not long. Yeah, yeah. Like 4 days.
So around February is when you decide to come back to South Africa.
Yes. Yeah.
And what was that like when you landing? So it's like traveling from Malaysia to South Africa. Like, was there any sort of indication that, like, something's happening here, or that, what was that like to travel back home?
Well, I think the numbers were not,
there were no known cases.
Yeah, no known cases when I actually landed. So I think I was quite calm about it, even though, like, processes at the airport were quite hectic.
Were they?
Yeah. Like, we had to make sure that mask on all the time, sanitize, social distancing, like, you know, the works. So it was quite hectic at the airport. Everyone, like, you could see the panic in everyone's, you know, faces. Like, from my layover in Dubai, like, people were kind of like, oh, you know, trying to keep a distance. Like, don't even try to get close to me. Like, stay over there type of vibes up until I landed. But, like, yeah, I think I was quite happy to come back home and, you know, just to be with family, because, I mean, during that time it was stressful. It was quite a stressful, like, 2 weeks, so to say. So just knowing that, okay, I'm going back home, my mom is gonna come and fetch me at the airport, and, you know, everyone will be there. So everyone was waiting for me, actually, when I landed. Like, when I landed, my gran was there, my mom was there, my aunt, my cousins, balloons, everything. Aww. Like, welcome home. So it was quite emotional. My mom had not seen me in a very, very long time, because, you know, I'm very close with my mom. So she was quite happy to see me. So it was quite an emotional experience, especially after what we had been through the past couple of 2 weeks, because they were also worried. They didn't know, like, the situation, you know, like, what to expect. Like, nobody knew, you know. So it was quite emotional, yeah.
And so you, I mean, obviously you coming back home and you left your friends behind in Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were deciding to just like stay there and like work from Malaysia.
Well, I think one of my friends, the British girl, decided to actually go back home. So she went home, and then my one friend, my American friend, decided to go to Bali. And then my one friend decided to follow me
to South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, the following, like, day.
Oh.
A few days after me, actually.
Oh.
So we didn't leave together. She came, like, a few days after me. So you can imagine.
Had she been to South Africa before?
No.
So she was just doing, like, her own trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then you are now back home, but, like, you're technically still employed by, like, your school in China.
Yeah.
And you're now working from home, like, as an online teacher.
Yeah.
Or, like, how did that work?
Yeah, well, I think as soon as I landed, like, maybe, like, a week after or so, they started training us to actually teach online, because we taught face-to-face, right? So they started to try and get the correct, I don't know, get the materials and train us for online teaching. So we did that for, like, a week. So, yeah, I think if I remember correctly, it was like a week. We did some training. Yeah, and then I started working. So I was teaching my regular students, classes, just online.
Yeah.
That was the only difference. And, yeah, I just had to learn how to navigate everything on a computer because, I mean, I was not really used to teaching online. I had never taught online ever in my life until that time.
And at this point, I mean, you're still expecting to go back to China.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point.
At some point, yeah. I don't know. We didn't really think that the numbers would get, you know, worse, or like South Africa would shut down at some point. The plan was to always go back. But because I think I was supposed to go back sometime in April. Sometime in April. And yeah, everything started closing down. China closed down. I think South Africa closed down on my birthday. So I actually spent my birthday on quarantine. So, yeah.
Let's get into that. So what are you thinking when, like, you know, our president gets on TV and tells us that, you know, we're going to go under level 5 lockdown?
Oh,
like, what are you thinking at this point? Like, just both in terms of your job, but, like, now you're here. Like, are you thinking, I should get out now before the country closes down, or are you thinking, I should stay?
Like, at that time, it was quite a difficult decision because things were not getting better in China. So I was like, you know what, it's better for me to just stay home and see what happens. And hopefully, like, things will come down and I'll still be able to go back. But then things did not calm down. Like, things became worse, especially here at home. That is when we started to see, like, the numbers going up. And, like, we went into a complete, like, you know, shutdown. Yeah, at that time, I wasn't even thinking about going back to China anyway, because things were not getting better either over there. So it was like, okay, either stay home, see what happens. Maybe you'll go back in a few months, or rush. But then at the same time, I think at that time, flights were even expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I think a direct flight to China was about 120,000 rands or something like that. So flights were super expensive. I was not even intending on going back because of the price. I was not willing to pay 120,000 rands just to fly back economy class on a one-way flight. I was like, no, I'd rather wait it out and see if, you know, flights will go down. Yeah. So,
But I mean, what's your school saying when, like, the country you're now in is going under lockdown? Like, are they worried about you not being able to come back?
I think they were worried about most of us as, you know, teachers, because I mean they are trying to retain, you know, as many teachers as they can, because I mean, once we start, like, go back home or whatever, chances are we might not come back. So it's an issue for the school, because they might lose, you know, their teachers, trained teachers at that. And imagine now they have to start hiring again. So it's an issue for them. So they were really, really pushing us to, like, come back. Like, Claire, like, you need to come back. But I'm like, flights are expensive. I can't really afford 120,000 rands. Just to, you know, just for a one-way flight. So I was not willing to pay that much money just to go back. Yeah, and I told them that, like, flights are too expensive.
How did they take that?
I mean, there was really nothing that we, like, I did not have that 120 for a flight. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then you just continue working, but I mean, your contract was coming to an end.
Yeah. So yeah, I continued working up until maybe like May. I had a full schedule until May, and then come June, like my classes started like decreasing. So meaning my money also started to, you know, decrease. So they started cutting my salary at that point. Like, okay, bro, you don't have classes. So it was a case of, if you don't have classes, then, you don't get any money. So I was getting paid based on how many classes I teach now. You know, I wasn't getting like a, you know, my normal salary at that point. So I think I stopped teaching around June. Yeah. So June, July, August, like the last 3 months of my contract, I didn't really have a salary to say.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was really tough. I mean, things happen. What can you do?
And I mean, the crazy thing is all this time, you came to South Africa, I'm guessing, with just your suitcase that you went to Vietnam with?
Yeah.
So, like, the rest of your stuff is still in China?
Yes. Well, I had to ask a friend to pack up, you know, some of my stuff into, like, suitcases. I had to, like, start talking to shipping companies around, you know, Tianjin.
Yeah.
Just to say, hey, how much do you charge to ship so many bags to South Africa. So he packed everything for me, and I think they only shipped my clothes, my bags, everything sometime in September, October, somewhere there. I paid a lot of money for that. So like 12,000 rands just to ship my things. So you can imagine. And already, like, my money, you know, had already decreased like a long time ago, so I wasn't getting paid my normal salary for some time. So you can imagine the stress of trying to get everything here and, you know, get paper sorted out even for shipping, because now I had to scan a lot of things just for the lady to, you know, process the actual, you know, shipping thing. So I had to ship everything home.
No, it just sounds crazy, because I'm just like, you know, how are you living with just like your suitcase? I'm guessing because you're at home, you at least had some stuff before.
Yeah, from before. So but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still wanted my stuff, you know, like, because I had bought like a lot of things while I was living in China for like 2 years. So it's like 2 years worth of clothes, shoes, bags, you know, and some of my most important documents were also still in China. So I had to ship everything with my documents. So I needed like my degrees, my matric certificates.
They were all in China.
They were all in China. You can imagine. And that time I still had to, you know, like, start applying for jobs though while I'm still, you know, at home, so that I can have something to do, you know, and not just sit around and do nothing. So I had to make sure that I ship everything, because I knew that my most important documents were also still.
Did you even have your ID, or did you just?
Well, luckily I had my ID. Okay. Thank God. But like my degrees, matric certificates, and, you know, other maybe certificates that I obtained while I was that side was still in China. So yeah.
Oh, okay. What was that like, knowing that you essentially left the country not knowing you're not going to go back? I mean, you still haven't gone back to China. Like, you left in January 2020 thinking you're going to go back.
Yeah.
But you've still not been back. Like, what's that like?
Well, I feel like, anyway, I had already decided that I was not going to sign a third contract with my school. I was, anyway, like, planning to come back home at, you know, some point. So for me, it was kind of like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, you know, I'm back home now. Let me apply for school for next year. So I think I started applying around March anyway. Mm-hmm. So I started applying for school, and then I think around
Oh wow, so like March 2020.
Yeah,
like you already, okay.
Yeah, I was
so
already
like
applying.
You already had in your head like, anyway, I was going to come back.
Yeah, because I knew that, okay, my contract is ending in a couple of months.
When did your contract officially end?
August 29th, 2020.
Okay.
So yeah, so I applied for school and then I got my offer, a placement offer around December. So at least I knew that, okay, come Jan, I have, you know, university, so that's fine. I'll have something to do if I don't find a job. I know, it's crazy.
It is crazy, but especially also even like the way you spoke of your homecoming, like how everyone, like, you know, met you at the airport. It almost
seems
so like
happy. Oh my god, they were excited.
It's almost like they knew, yeah, like this really was like your final homecoming, even though it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, no, they were excited. Like, yo, like, my mom even had, like, you know, those little balloons saying, like, welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back home. So, I was quite happy. Like, to be honest, I was happy to be back home with my family, with my support structure. Even though I had a good support structure back in China, like, my friends were there, you know, my colleagues. but, like, my, you know, like, your family is your family. So.
Yeah.
It's always going to be, like, emotional, no matter what, so.
And just, how have you been, like, now, like, have you gotten your stuff, actually, I didn't even ask that. Like,
have I?
Gotten your things, like,
yes,
everything.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything, like.
Because I know it can take not just a long time, but, like, so many people weren't able to even ship their things because of COVID.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are trying to, you know, get their stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I was not the only South African who was stuck, you know.
Yeah.
At home. But, I think most people were able to either have maybe talk to a cargo company or like a shipping, like an actual, you know,
just shipping company.
Yeah.
Also.
Those shipping. So mine got shipped by like a boat. Like an actual boat, which is why it took so long to actually get here. Because had I used like a cargo shipping company, then it would have been like, I think, a lot. It would have taken a week instead of like 3 months.
Even during COVID times?
Yeah. I actually spoke to a couple of companies like that who like got your stuff within a week. Super expensive.
Yeah.
So, like DHL. And your DHL is expensive, so, yeah. But other than that, I got my stuff, and I started my life here at home. I taught for, like, 3 months, like, online.
Yeah.
And then I decided I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm back on the job market again.
But while studying.
Yeah, while studying, which is fine.
But so just overall, I think to close of our conversation, like, you know, it's like, what would you say your past year has been like and just how have you been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, how have you been coping with just everything?
I think I've been coping quite well. Like, it hasn't been too bad, even though, like there were times where I felt, oh my God, like this is a lot. Like, yeah, did I, you know, make the right decision by not going back? But I told myself that, you know what, it's fine, girl. Like, you have school now. Like, focus on that. And, like, you will find whatever that you're looking for. You will find what you want eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is what is keeping me going at the moment. I mean, there's not really much to do right now. Like, a lot of people are at home. They can't really do much, you know. Although we try to go out here and there, you know, see some friends, take a break, you know, get some fresh air. Like, life has been okay. Like, it's been good. Yeah, it's been fine. I've been coping. I'm doing well. My family's here. My friends are here. So I'm fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm very happy to have had you in studio with me for a chat. Thank you so much, Kahit.
Thank you so much, Bola, for being
so open, you know, like with your experiences and what you've been through. But sharing us that it's okay. I like you do sound like you're like, yeah, it's fine. I went through it, but it's fine. You just Move on.
Yeah, you move on. I mean, there's only so much that you can do, so much that you can control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no use focusing on things that you have absolutely no control over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So focus on what you can control and what you can fix. And you'll be fine. You'll be good. Like, life goes on.
Life goes on. Thank you, Kafisa.
Thank you so much, Lola. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone. Join us next time for COVID Stuck Abroad. Thank you for joining us on today's episode. You can follow us on Instagram at COVID Stuck Abroad. On Facebook, you can search for CSA to like the page. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at covidstuckabroad@gmail.com. Please see show notes for the links. This episode of COVID Stuck Abroad was produced by Zola Zegut with funding from the National Arts Council's Presidential Employment Stimulus Program. The episodes were recorded at Solar Gold Studios.